Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hold up.
Love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic. You ain't a hustler, you broke, well that seems tragic. Gotta catch in the field like deep passes. I tell her plug if it's sticky, then please bag it. I need the best cause I grew up beneath madness. Need a matte burgundy mercy. Jewelry so heavy it might hurt me. Smoking extra kill, that extra seal. Whoa. Buffalo money need extra bills. Till I'm eating so much I got a breakfast deal. I put mom's on vacay with Bob Marley.
Yo, what is up? It's your boy Sterls for the girls. And it's Tuesday night. I got my dog in here, All Bro Poe. And we gonna chop it up tonight right here on the Buffalo Rumblings VidCast feed. We're going to do the damn thing, man. It's Tuesday. And first, before we talk anything Buffalo Bills, okay? You know, as you can see here, I'm representing my dogs, University of Michigan. They went down and beat up on them boys from Alabama in the Rose Bowl, and they plan for a national title. I don't know if you watched the games last night, but
I watched the Alabama-Michigan one. I didn't watch that one.
So all I got to say is, you know, as excited I was for the Bills beating the Patriots, and as excited as I am for the Bills to get the number two seed this weekend, I am that much more excited about the Wolverines playing in the Natty on Monday night, man.
Yeah, I had no dog in that fight. I just wanted Alabama to play a good game because – because I wanted everybody to stop whining about the FSU thing, because yeah, FSU would have got dog walked by both those teams. So,
yeah, I mean, FSU got stomped by Georgia 63-3, which was the biggest spread, margin of loss for a team in a bowl game. I mean, that right there.
I'll say without their opt-outs. Or like if their opt-outs were playing, they would have got smacked by Alabama or Michigan, in my opinion. I just don't think their offense, their backup quarterback's not doing anything against either of those defenses. So
yeah,
I was happy with the game yesterday.
Nah, they were depleted everything. But speaking of Michigan though, hey man, they were saying Michigan can't beat, you know, Bama because Nick Saban, and you know, it just all the hyperbole, man. And them boys went out there and took care of business. And so, you know, just rare that one of the teams that I like win, right? Like I had the Nuggets last year, which is fantastic. This year, you know, hopefully we can add the Bills to that, but maybe Michigan can kind of get it done. So we'll see, man. But I'm definitely pumped up about it. And I'm doing a lot better too. You know, health wise, it's been a rough 2 weeks, man. My voice and stuff is still kind of it's getting there. I got enough in the tank. You know, I went to work today in the office. I got enough in the tank to get this show done tonight, man. I could not come on here and talk to you tonight. So
it's been a minute. We had a run on with Justice last week, and then I was gonna run some of your intentional groundings, but I didn't know how to do anything yet on the background stuff. It was good.
Now you know how to do it now, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy, man. Button here, button there. You know,
I was in here before the one with me and Justin just pressing buttons, uh-huh. See what happens.
Yeah. you got to get in there, and press around, see what works. But nonetheless, man, the Buffalo Bills defeated the New England Patriots, man, and it's got me pumped, bro. It's got me pumped, man. Like the opportunity that this team has lying before them this Sunday night against the Miami Dolphins. And the funny thing about the whole thing is, you're already seeing the excuses from the Dolphins. Oh, we got all these injuries. It's just nonstop, bro. They're already starting. What have you seen this stuff on the Twitterverse yet?
I have, and I'll say I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry you guys are dealing with the injury, but that's I'm not gonna sit here and dog them for whatever they got going on, because if we win, I really don't give a damn about them. We're not gonna see them at all in the playoffs, in my opinion. So I think they'd be on the opposite side of the bracket if I'm correct. But yeah, I just want to win. I don't really care about the excuses. I just want to win.
Yeah, and listen, this game will be played in Miami, which I'm glad it's not played in Buffalo, you know, because I feel like the offense needs to get in rhythm, particularly in the passing game. So being in Miami in January is a great thing. What's the weather going to be like? You're down there a lot. 70 degrees?
70 sunny? High, I think, or 75 high, and then a low of like 65-ish at night. So it should be just right.
Oh, yeah. And you know, that the stadium's going to be filled with Bills fans because, you know, no Dolphins fans don't really show up to them games like that. So yeah, the Bills are going to dominate the crowd. But, I mean, we're going to take over that stadium. So I'm really expecting a dub here. But before we kind of dive into why we think the Dolphins are going to lose, let's talk about this Patriots game, man, because I didn't get a chance to chat with you about it. I felt like the team was flat offensively again, and it's concerning. And it's not one of those where I'm going to pile on Gabe Davis, but I'm going to pile on everybody. The protection scheme was not where it needed to be. Josh Allen was not sharp at all. I can point to, after watching the All-22, I can point to every wide receiver on the squad with a missed opportunity just from a route running perspective, you know, which disrupts timing and rhythm for that offense. And what were your, I don't know if you've seen the All-22, but what were just your takeaways from Sunday's matchup?
In entirety of a game, like you're going to see some missed opportunities, some that mean a little bit more than others. And just Josh did not play a very good game, and the missed opportunities that he had, the one to Diggs that should have been a touchdown. We got the ball inside the 20 because of our defensive turnovers, like, or inside the 25 at least, like three times in the first. And we ended up with two field goals and a touchdown. And it should have been a much bigger game than it was, like as far as scoring, and they probably should have been out in the third. But I can say that I'm happy that Josh played one of his bad games and we escaped with the win. I don't think he played that bad in LA, to whereas I just think that as a whole, it wasn't the best scheme. The offense coordinating in LA wasn't that great. I think the struggles on offense fell with Josh quite a bit, in my opinion, against the Patriots.
Yeah, no, it was one of those. I mean, I agree with you. Like, when you look at it, you go, okay, if you're going to have a bad game, get it out of the way. If that means you're going to come in this week and moving forward and you're going to be, you know, what we expect you to be throwing the football, then I'm all for that. It's just hard to bank on something like that, the consistency, because it hasn't been there as a whole for the offense, not just Josh Allen, but the last, what, four games, I'd say, that he's had, like, a great game passing the football. I just think, you know, the stakes are higher now, right? You know, the positive about all that is, you know, Vic Fangio is going to play a lot of zone coverage, right? And that's, you're going to see some passing windows. They're going to be open, right? So it's up to Joe Brady to call the right plays at the right time, and that timing has to be there. But, I mean, Josh is a veteran. He's an elite quarterback. I don't expect him to continually have bad games. I feel like he's going to right the ship because the team just knows what's at stake here.
Yeah, and that last game, other than the one deep ball that he had that ended up getting intercepted, and that ball felt like he was trying to fit something to Diggs because he had missed Diggs prior. And so I'm better. Like, this, it reminded me of the Jets game, but without the extra three picks. And so we were able to win those games. And what I have liked about the past two games and is that the defense has been able to do enough, and we haven't hurt ourselves to the point of losing these games, whereas in previous games we had hurt ourselves tremendously and we ended up losing some of these close games. So like, I'm okay with winning ugly games. It's going to happen. You're going to have some ugly games. I don't care if we win ugly for the rest of the season, as long as we win. It's just like one or two of these games, Josh is, maybe even three, Josh will come out and dominate games. So it'll be all
right. Yeah. So speaking of high stakes, so as of where everything stands right now, the Bills are currently 95% chance to make the playoffs. Now there are two games that you know we're all going to be watching. Okay, so and it's funny how the schedule kind of plays out this weekend, because you got the Steelers and the Ravens. They're going to kick off at 4:30 Eastern time, and then you got the Jaguars and the Titans kick off at 1 p.m. So you know, I think you know all of Bills Mafia is going to be glued to those two games to see.
Maybe I'm tripping. I thought the Steelers and Ravens played at 1 on Sunday.
Saturday. Ravens Steelers play at 4:30 on Saturday, and then the Jaguars Titans play at on Sunday.
Sunday. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I had the days mixed up there. So if there's a game that there's not a bigger game for the Bills this season as of right now. This is it. Like, you got an opportunity to, if you're Josh Allen, you got an opportunity to put yourself, your legacy is at stake, I feel like here, because it's a gotta have it game. You know, we talk about Josh as being one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, and I understand to a degree what he's done against the Dolphins and always kind of having the number, but man, like, we can't just overlook the magnitude of this game coming up, dude. Like, I don't know, man. I think on Sunday, I'm going to be a little I don't know if I'll sleep Saturday night, man. I ain't going to cap. I probably won't sleep.
Well, you know me. The magnitude of every game that we've just played the last three or four since Kansas City has been the exact same, right? You lose and you don't get in the playoffs. So, So like, I'm not one to our backs have been up against the wall for the last 4 weeks, and they kind of just kept an even keel and about them. They know that what's at stake, and I don't want them to go out and do anything more than what they need to do to win the game. That's why, what I get from Jordan feels the same way. They just need to go out and play and not put any more or less into it than what needs to be to win a football game.
Man, let's talk about that defense, man. Mama P is in the house too, and she says this. She says it's nice to see, even when the offense is struggling, defense keep them in the game, and I don't want it to be a habit. Nah, Mama P's right. Like, the defense, for all the shit that was said about McDermott and this defense, they've kind of figured it out, man. Namely, I mean, anytime we see Rasul Douglas, when he talks, who does he always mention first? Micah and Jordan. You know, and that's a testament to the leadership that those guys have, man. First impressions of the defense. I mean, they kind of stole the show on Sunday against the Patriots with four turnovers.
Yeah, and I'll speak on Rasul more, because I have so much respect for Rasul and how he affects a locker room just in that aspect of it. Regardless, Rasul, and I don't know if anybody watched Jordan's mic'd up, Rasul is the type of person, and he's exactly like Trey was when he first got here. They're going to listen to what these safeties say, and they're just going to do what the safeties are telling them to do. And the reason being is because both of them know how to put these other guys in position to win their matchups, to win coverage, to win whatever. And so the fact that Rasul, as good as he is and as much of a veteran as he is, has been able to come in here and still be able to take that as somebody, usually it'll take – that's why Jordan always says he liked Trey, because they came in together and he liked the cornerbacks that they brought in, because they listen. Mm-hmm. And when they brought in a quarterback or a cornerback that doesn't listen, like, it gets hectic and they do their own thing. It just doesn't work out. And Rasul, as much of a veteran as he is, I have so much respect for the way that he plays the game, the way that he's able to listen, the way that he gives other people credit when he makes plays, and they put him in position to be able to be aggressive, because he has a very smart, he's a very smart player. He's able to read the throws. That interception that he had for a pick six, that ball, he's not looking at the receiver at all. He's looking directly at the quarterback, and the quarterback was getting ready to throw, and the receiver was just not ready for it. And that's something you don't see very often.
Yeah, he sensed the pressure and broke on the ball. Yeah. And I think, you know, sorry to cut you off there, but like I feel like that kind of play has rubbed off on Christian Benford as well.
Yeah. And Christian, I've told you this, like Christian has the same mentality previous in the year when Jordan, and I told you this off of the, when Jordan and Micah tell Christian something, he's all right. And he's right back. You know, that's how he is, bro. All right, let's get it. Like, that's like everybody on this defensive backfield, including Taryn, as smart as he is too, is all on the same page. And when you see that, it's a beautiful sight.
Man, when we talk about Rasul, and you and I have discussed this on and offline that before Rasul was here, we felt like Christian Benford was our best cornerback. Yeah. He was playing better than Trey White, in our opinion. And it goes to show, like, when you insert Rasul in that lineup, his ability to break on footballs and take away the football, it's not, you know, we don't give it. We don't give it enough credit. I mean, he's a difference back there. He's better than Trey White right now. Now Trey White's injured, but I would say even a healthy Trey White, I mean, you'd rather have someone back there with the ability to change a game. I mean, the margins for error are so small, and just getting those turnovers like that, you know, tipping a ball so that Ed Oliver can intercept it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. That's championship style defense right there.
Yeah, they let him play with eyes, which is nice. I do wish, like, if the benefit of what's coming, if Trey decides to come back, I don't know what his status is. If he plays again, then he's an all go guy. So like once he gets once he's healthy, like I don't even think we got to see him fully healthy and fully ready to go. I think he was getting there as the season was going, and then it just sucks that he ended up getting hurt again. But the fact that we found Rasul, and if there is those two cornerbacks going into next year, and you have both of them at full health, like it might be interesting to see what transpires with this cornerback room. But it looks gross right now.
I mean, listen, the fact that you got Rasul and Christian Benford balling out, it gives. I'm okay with Trey White being on the roster because, you know, Christian Benford gets injured a lot, so if you know they can work something out with Trey and he can get back to full strength. You know, maybe to buy him some time. I mean, he's only, 27, 28 years old? Mm-hmm. So he's got some time. I mean, it's not, you know, the book isn't closed, but
he doesn't have to be rushed back with these guys. Yeah, he can just, like, kind of – and then once you get back, get some series in here and there, and like, it doesn't have to be nothing crazy. Now, if he ends up going a different way or the team ends up going a different way, all right, so be it. You got guys here, but he doesn't have to be rushed back if you do want to keep a guy like Trey here.
Yeah. Daquan Jones entered back into the lineup. This has been a player who's been injured since week 5 from London with a torn pectoral injury. He was back. And one of the things that I noticed, man, the impact that he already had on the game, it feels like he never left. He was two gapping. He was disruptive in the snaps that he got. And, you know, I think before the game, I was kind of worried. It's like, man, how much can we really rely or expect him to have an impact in this game just because he hasn't played in weeks? You know, you don't know how he's really feeling from that injury, right? Because you don't know if the team rushing him back or if he's trying to rush back just because he wants to play. But man, all the concerns were wiped away when you first saw him out there. And the thing that I noticed the most is that it freed Ed Oliver up to go one-on-one with a guard or a center. And I'm telling you, man, that's a dub every single time, man. It was beautiful to see.
And that's a problem for these guys coming up. Tua don't want people in his face. And those two inside against the backup center and a backup guard is not going to be a good pickings for Miami. So those two being back, Puna getting snaps, which crazy enough has elevated Tim Settle's play. I think he feels a little bit of pressure where he hadn't before with Puna never – getting in the lineup. Tim Settle has played better because of that, in my opinion. Sometimes during the playoffs, you may get Jordan Phillips. So, I mean, we're getting healthy and people are starting to you know what I mean, strap it up and play and get comfortable with where they're playing. And seeing DQ back was nice, even though he was on a pitch count. It'll be nice to see how he plays going forward and what kind of snaps both Puna and Tim get in his absence, like if he's taking a break or whatnot.
Speaking of pitch count, it was kind of funny to see Von Miller on the inactive list. It's something that we've kind of talked about, how he's really not contributing much to the team just because he's coming back from injury. But the team decided, you know what, AJ is back, so we're gonna just put him on a shelf. And it's crazy because you hear Eric Washington talk, and they talk about how, you know, what Von does, you don't get to see on the stat sheet, all the cliche stuff. But when rubber meets the road, you say all that, and then you put him inactive. What were your thoughts on Von being inactive for this game?
I'll kind of mix a little of what I know a little bit with what I think as well. And so Von, from what I've heard, they wanted to give him a break during a game where they were going to run the football a large portion of the plays. And so they were going to give him a break and let him sit and get rested for Miami game coming up. So I also know that we were announcing the defense this year or this game. And part of me thinks, and this is not what I know, this is just my opinion, that part of me thinks that they just didn't want to announce him. And so a game against the Patriots where they're not going to throw the ball, you don't want to deal with that and the boos and that he might have gotten. In my opinion, he'll probably be active for that game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he can come out there and contribute, you know, give me two good pass rush reps at least. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's worth it to me.
He was getting to the point in the last like few games where he was getting like good rushes and getting hurries. He just hasn't been able to finish a sack, which is probably what he needs to get going. But I mean,
it's the power. He doesn't have that power yet.
That leg power, and his speed is just not there to where he could turn a corner like that. But I do think that he'll be able to turn it up I think at some point he'll be able to turn it up. And we'll probably forget, if he gets a couple sacks here and there in the playoffs, we'll probably forget that he was struggling all season.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice to see, man. I think the Dolphins, they're going to have their hands full when it comes to this Bills pass rush, this defensive line. And truthfully so. I mean, I feel like the defensive line has been pretty good all season. Like in past years, we would talk about we hoped for the defensive line to live up to his potential, but I feel like they've done that. Just the play of Ed Oliver, you know, Russo is like every other game where he's gonna, you know, he always shows up in terms of his run fits and stuff like that, but you know, he needs to step up a little bit from a pass rush perspective. And then Leonard Floyd has been consistent all year, I feel like. So that's one side where you can control the trenches. On the flip side, now
in terms of Grude, I'm pretty sure he's hurt. I'm pretty sure his ankle is bugging him. He's able to play, but I think it's just been a lingering ankle issue, which is why pass rushing is not his strength right now, more so run fits, which he's always been good at. So,
man, I hope, you know, if you're going to sit somebody to get him right, man, I would have wished it was Russo this past game, but I understand why. But, if he's injured, man, I know he's been battling that ankle. I just don't know the severity of it. I just hope he's better for the playoffs, man.
Yeah. When you get to the playoffs, and like, as much as like it's been, like you can say it's been the playoffs these last few games, like you still have to play the games after if you lose these last few games, right? So like, no matter what, even if you lose, you're still gonna have to play the games after this. Once you get into the playoffs, and it's no matter what, if you lose a game, you're done. You're going home. If those games, like, people really don't give a damn about their bodies and shit. So we'll see.
Hey, you got a fan here, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're trying to, you know, check your location, dog.
I do not still live in that story. I don't know. Maybe when I turn like 65 or something, that's a place to retire at.
Hey, shout out to Bills Fan 96 checking on all bro Po and that thing, boy. Oh man. All right. So one of the things that really frustrated the hell out of me this weekend or on Sunday was the pass protection, man. Them boys, you know, Torrence and McGovern, they got worked. They got worked, man. And I think that attributed a little bit to some of the pass game inaccuracies. But, man, did you notice Christian Barmore and them boys just eating Lawrence Guy, eating them, eating their lunch, bro? It was pretty bad.
I mean, they didn't play – though the guards in particular probably didn't play their best game. But I also know that D-line – even without Judon, or I don't even know if Judon's still there, but even without
Judon's injured.
Yeah, like they're still a good, really good D line. That's why they've even been in games against good teams down the stretch, like the Denver Broncos game. Like that D line eats, and the linebacker core is pretty solid over there. So I understand. It's just interesting that from week to week, like their focus is so different. Sometimes you focus on like, and they have to change up their focus. Like we ran the ball, 28 times to Cook in the game where he broke off for 170.
Yeah. It's Cowboys.
And so now the O-line's going into that game. Like, all right, we're run blocking. You know what I mean? And then you get into this game, you're probably thinking you're going to run the ball again and it changes up. And now you're pass blocking a little bit more than you wanted to, because the game's close. And, it's just interesting. It's interesting to see when they struggle and when they're playing well, and what the correlation is between games.
Yeah, you know, it felt like during this game, you know, they had a trouble with power. And we know Barmore, Guy, those guys are strong at the point of attack. You know, McGovern in and of himself he's a better pass blocker than he is, you know, in run fits and stuff like that. But he, you know, at the point of attack, man, he had no answer for Christian Barmore in a couple reps. And Barmore has been really good. So, but still, you know, those are the kind of things where, you know, you got to have the protection right. The pass game in and of itself is poetry in motion. You know, you got to have a lot of the things go right for you. It starts at the offensive line. So, I mean, you know, Aaron Cromer has done a phenomenal job this season. I do expect it to be better this week, again, because you're not seeing, Chubb, you're not seeing Phillips, right? Which those guys line up on the outside, but you got Christian Wilkins, who has been pretty good as well. Brandon Seiler, those guys. So they're gonna have their tests, but you know, I just think that you know, if the Bills can kind of focus on attacking the edge of the defense, you know, get Van Ginkle out of position, you know, run right at Van Ginkle, and I think the Bills are going to be able to run the ball this weekend. What do you think?
I mean, I'd hope so. That's what opens up. Like, if we haven't been able to run the ball in that Patriots game, and then we ran it well late in the Chargers game, and that's part of like the protection, right? So if you're not running the ball well on first down, they get to pin their ears back, and now your guards are a step behind. And it'll be interesting to see how they come out, how this team comes out. I do think that the Patriots were going to let Josh run, and they were trying to do everything in their power to only let Josh run in like the most needed points of that game.
Yeah.
and if they would have let him run more, I feel like he would probably went for 150, because I don't think they were spying him at much at all. I think that Belichick went in and was like, okay, if you want to beat us with your legs, you're going to have to beat us with your legs type of thing. And it made the guards struggle a little bit. But
it was interesting to see how much man they played. They played a lot of man coverage, man. I was surprised. I mean, we knew that Bill was going to throw some man in there, because that's what he likes to do against the Bills. And a lot of other teams, they play a lot of man. But, man, you just feel like, you know, Josh Allen, like, dude, he's going to eat you up, like, on the ground. But, you know, I feel like the Bills should have scored 40 points. I mean, this game should not have been close. And I'm not even tripping about the style points necessarily. It comes down to the opportunities when you get takeaways in plus territory. Man, you got to finish those drives with touchdowns, right?
Yeah. To inside to 25 three times.
Yeah.
And we scored 13 points. And like 13 points is good. We're scoring. We're not turning the ball back over or anything like that. But like, I would like two touchdowns on three turnovers inside the
25. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know that they got to clean that mess up, bro. But the Bills have been pretty good in the red zone all season long. So again, this is one of those games where they may have been caught looking forward to the Dolphins game, which the Dolphins, they got their ass whooped by the Ravens. And I did not expect an outcome like that. 56 points, bro. You let the Ravens put up 56 on you. Golly.
The problem that's always been for the Dolphins, and like the interesting thing is when you look at the Dolphins and Cowboys game, their problems are exactly the same. When you get down by quite a bit and you're forced to throw the ball on timing, and that's what Tua and Dak like. They like to be on time, on target. And when you're not allowed to do that because your three tech and your ends are pinning their ears back because you have the lead, it's very difficult. Now, it's very difficult to hit those timings on time, on target with Tua. So, like, I consider the Cowboys and the Dolphins in that similar category of how they like to play the games. And
throw the 49ers in there too.
I mean,
they got a better offensive line, but yeah, they
and better, you know, defense. So but like, no, and that's just how I look at those two. And so, like, I can always see the Dolphins getting blown out. If you get a lead on the Dolphins, it's very hard for the Dolphins to come back and win that game.
Man, the Dolphins, bro, they got so much going on right now. No Chubb. Tua went out with a shoulder. Now he's saying he's gonna be fine.
Yeah,
Xavier Howard,
the same as Josh's.
Yeah, Xavier Howard with a foot injury got carted off. Like, it ain't looking good for them boys, man. It ain't looking good. So
they don't have Connor Williams. They don't have their starting guard either.
Connor Williams, right? And now you're gonna have to trot out Kader Kohu on Stephon Diggs, or are they gonna put him in the slot? That's the question of the week. Right. Or so then if they do that, then you got Eli Apple with Diggs. I think this is going to be a good get right game for. Oh, and Daryl, thank you for mentioning that. Waddle and Hill, Hill is dealing with an ankle. Waddle, I'm not sure what his injury is, but those guys are banged up. So, man, you talk about the recipe at the right time.
And also the defense that they're not going to want to play right now is the defense that the Bills trot out there. You're not. Third and six, you're not getting that over the top ball that you want to get all the time. That stuff is not happening. You're gonna have to go ahead and take that underneath route. You're gonna get hit. Yeah, I know you don't want to get hit. You're hurting right now. You're struggling. You're not getting those over the top balls. That's a no fly zone back there. So you're gonna have to be on time, on target, trot up the field with injuries that you got, and it's gonna be tough for them. If our offense can get going and be the offense that it could be, I mean. It's going to be a close game, which the Bills are always going to be at the end of the games, or the Bills are going to blow out the Dolphins. I don't see it any other way.
You know what I think, too? I think the reason – it's like, why do the Bills have all these, like, close games, man, is because I still think the NFL views them as the top dog. You know what I'm saying? Like we know that the Chiefs are down, but everybody looks at the – I feel like teams look at the Bills and they go – they're still one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the AFC. And they get everybody's best shot every single week, bro. They get everybody's best shot.
Absolutely. And, like, that's just great. That's just – it's sharpening us up. As long as we win the games, like, it don't matter. You know what I mean? And now, like, you're going into a game where – and, yes, the Patriots – made us struggle a little bit, but you're going into a game where the Dolphins are definitely giving us we're getting our best shot. And this is for the two seed. Everybody knows for the two seed, come out and see what happens. I would like to go into the game knowing that we have a playoff spot already, just because I would like to not have that on my mind throughout the game. But I mean, regardless, I just feel like the Bills are going to win.
So let me tell you why I feel like this is going to be different this year. And I'm not saying the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl, but I don't see a weakness on the defense. I feel like Micah Hyde is your weakest link.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And it's wild to even say that.
It's interesting.
But on defense, Micah's your weakest link.
I mean, T-Dot.
Think about it. Huh? T-Dot's been balling now. T-Dot's been balling.
Okay, but like Jordan's playing linebacker 33% of the snaps. So, like, T-Dot's not on the field for those 33 where you have to cover
Micah
people.
Micah is injured all the time.
Okay, but like you can't grade him on when he's injured. You got to grade him on when he's out on the field. And hey, Mike has been out on the field.
Listen,
he struggled
same,
one game dog. Against the Eagles. He struggled
Mike
one game
the same.
Against the Eagles. He played well this last week.
Well, I mean, consider the opponent. The Patriots weren't doing they weren't gonna do nothing throwing the ball in the air, man.
You cannot.
I'm not saying Micah was dog water. I'm saying this is what I'm saying. If you look at the weakest link on the defense,
it's definitely Tino.
It's okay. It's got to either be between Tyrell Dotson or Micah Hyde. Tell me I'm wrong there.
Well, like I'm always right with Micah because Micah doesn't come out of the field. You're taking T-Dot out for 33% of the snaps because they don't want him to cover. So you're putting our 190-pound strong safety at linebacker on third and fives and longer so he can cover, which is
Jordan's doing a lot. Jordan's doing a lot back there. That's all I'm going to say. You know, watching all 22, I look at Micah and I go, he's the weakest link on the defense, man. And that's a good thing. To me, that's a good thing just because you have the strength of the team is the secondary, for one. You laugh, but you know I'm right.
No, because you get to pick. Micah plays or T-Dot plays. Who are you picking?
Right now? T-Dot.
No, do not. Oh, my God. That's a lie, and you know it. That is a lie. That is a lie, and you know it. Everybody in this damn chat right now knows that if you had to choose between Micah Hyde and T-Dot, being on the field, you're picking Micah.
Hey, you know, sometimes I got to come in here and stir the pot a little bit. You know, I got to get your blood boiling, man.
I love T-Dot. T-Dot's a dog.
T-Dot's been balling, man. You got to give that man some credit. You got to give him
33% of the time because Jordan.
Look, Mama P says she's telling me to chill.
Craziness.
So the point of me saying all that is this. We look at the offense and we know they're not firing in all cylinders, but you have a defense now. I think our defense now is better equipped. I think this is the best defense the Bills have fielded in the Sean McDermott era, just from the trenches to the back end. You have it gives the offense time to kind of get it together. I feel like this defense is going to perform. I think you got to look at the quarterbacks that are in the playoffs this year, right? It's going to give the offense time to get things together. The defense, I feel like, is going to carry this team to the Super Bowl.
It's an interesting take.
Think about it.
Interesting take. Are you talking about the end of the year?
I'm talking about now. From the defense that we've seen in the past few weeks, they're healthier. They've gotten better schematically. I think Sean McDermott's been better situationally. I feel like this defense is built to carry the offense when it's not firing at all cylinders. I think it's going to bode well for them in the playoffs.
I think it's up there. I do think it's up there with some at least top three. I think the defense that we had at the beginning of last year might have been the best defense that you were going to see from the Buffalo Bills when Vaughn was frying, when Milano was fully healthy, Tremaine Edmonds was still here. And don't get me wrong, Terrell Bernard I'll take Terrell Bernard over Edmonds, but you had a fully healthy defense, and that defense against the Rams that I saw last year might have been the best defense I've seen.
But you didn't have the Daquan Jones that you have now, nor the Ed Oliver you have now. So I think, you know, even though Vaughn is not where he needs to be, you add in Leonard Floyd, and then you add in those two in the middle, I think it makes this defensive line unit much better. You look at the linebacker.
It's the run for sure, absolutely.
When you look at the linebackers, okay, so we know I'm a fan of Tremaine Edmonds, but what Matt Milano had to carry – in a lot of ways. Now, Terrell Bernard has come in. He's played extremely well. And I think his play is starting to get recognized by not just Bills Mafia, but the media as well. So, and then, you know, Sean has kind of dialed in Tyrell Dotson to get exactly what he needs out of him.
If Milano was healthy, I would say no question. If Milano was healthy, I would say no question for sure. But I just – the fact that – You can't do as much as you would like to do because no matter what, on third and five and above, you're taking T-Dot off the field to run dime. Like, if Milano was healthy, I'd say it would be the best defense that we've fielded, because Rasul is as good as Trey's ever been right now, at least the way he's performing. Don't get me wrong, Trey, one of my favorite quarterbacks, but right sure. now the way Rasul is playing is probably as good, if not better, than we've seen Trey be at for a while. So
if we're looking at the playoffs here, there's not an offense that from the AFC side that you go, oh no, I'm scared of that. You know what I'm saying? No. Like the Bengals probably won't make it.
It should be the Ravens.
And the Ravens you're concerned about, right?
I just think that our defense is fully, like, we have two linebackers that run sideline to sideline fast as hell. So, like, I just don't think – I think that the way we play is prepped for the Ravens offense. And so that mm-hmm. way it should be the Ravens. But I'm not worried about the Ravens offense when it comes to this build defense. Obviously, anything could happen, but I think we're prepared for that game.
Yeah, I think the matchup there, and people think we're crazy, but the Bills they're built to play the Ravens pretty well, even without Mark Andrews. And I know this is a different offense that the Ravens are putting out there. But
what they add, they added take the top off speed, and that's just not what we give up. So, like, that
exactly
that, those additions exactly. don't mean anything in playing against us. Like, you're gonna have to dink and dunk, get up the field, or run the ball consistently for 200 yards. And I just don't think that you're going to do either one of those against our team with the roster you have.
Now, having Matt Milano in the picture would shut all that down. Oh, now, it sucks that he's not here. But, I mean, listen, again, I'm not worried about the Browns offense with Joe Flacco. And he's been playing great. I'm not worried about them. The Chiefs, we're at a place now to where, and we saw this in the Kansas City game, where you can put Rasul on Kelsey, just like they did. Trey White would line up on Kelsey from time to yeah. time. Now you could do that, and if we can get an elevated play from Micah Hyde, you know, if he gets a little bit more healthy, dude, I'm just saying, like, man, this is the moment. I say all that to say, this is the moment where you get into the playoffs, Buffalo. You could be knocking on the door of the AFC Championship and possibly the Super Bowl.
So, and interesting thing is, so you get the 2 seed. You're on the opposite side as the Ravens. Mm-hmm. You're on the opposite side as the – you're on the same side as the Chiefs, but you get to play them at home if they won.
Right.
And exactly. So the Chiefs end up playing the Dolphins. So, I think it's 3v6, yes. I would assume. So, mm-hmm. no matter what, you're getting either the Dolphins – well, that's not exactly true. If the Dolphins won, which is very possible, then you would get the AFC South champion or the Browns at home. And so the road is nice. the road is nice. At worst, you have to go into Baltimore, where we've proven we can come back down 20. And I just think that our defense is built to stop that team. So at worst, you get the Ravens on the road, which is nice. And like, our team has the ability to make some noise in the playoffs. I don't want to say Super Bowl, or I mean, I believe that we can win the Super Bowl.
It's the perfect recipe. If I would much rather, and this may sound crazy, I would much rather the Bills play the Ravens in Baltimore than for the Bills to play the Ravens at home. I just feel like, man, they need that adversity, that chip on their shoulder in Baltimore, where, you know, because, you know, the Bills won't be favored in that game, right? They're not going to be favored.
They wouldn't be favored if it was at home or.
I think they might be favored if it was in Buffalo. I think the spread on that will probably be like 2-3 points.
Yeah, no matter what, whether it's in Baltimore, if it's the AFC Championship game, whether it's in Baltimore at home, the spread would be 2-3 points. I just think that they love to favor the hot hand. Like, they love the Ravens right now in national media, and
I love it.
And so it's great, but. I don't care whether we play. We're going to have to play the Ravens on the road. They're the 1 seed, so whatever. But I also wouldn't mind playing whoever comes out of that side at home either. So I'm not really that, like, I'm not really that taken regardless of what we have to do. Like, we have the ability to win every game from here to the Super Bowl. And we've already shown that we can compete with two of the top three contenders in the NFC. So,
So how you feeling about this? Lamar Jackson's pretty much sewn up the MVP race. It's over. I mean, the performance from last Sunday, man, even though Josh has better numbers, Lamar's winning the MVP.
Well, Josh about to break the record for rushing touchdowns next game, which was just set by Jalen. So he's about to break that record. That's going to get shown on national television. We also could win that game by 40, which then cancels out everything that Lamar just did last week. Lamar's not going to be playing.
If Josh throws for at least three touchdowns
and gets he could run for two or three of them. You don't have to throw for them. You got to win the game and be dominant, and that's going to include Josh playing well with touchdowns. So I do think that with Lamar sitting this week, if Josh comes out and has a great performance against this Dolphins defense, I think Josh can steal that right back from him, because nobody has really ran away from it in terms of it's a moment, right? The moments, and Josh, if he has the last moment, you never know what happened. I really don't think they want to give Lamar his second one, because that would tie Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar hasn't done anything. Oh, so in the playoffs.
You're going the conspiracy route, huh?
Absolutely. What? We just watched Dallas get hand gifted a game last week. We're telling me this is not rape.
Who has the script? What? Who has the script?
I have it, but Bill's top second seed. I've been told y'all this since 6-6. Bill's second seed. I said this. They're going to lose two of their last three.
Okay.
For the East. I have the script, but I'm saying.
Okay, Negro Domus over here. Tell me what that script says, because I'm over here speculating, like, you know,
is wins and losses. So, like, Bills win this game, but I just don't know what Josh's stat lines would look like to where I can see if he wins the MVP or not. I don't have that.
Okay, so we're pretty much, you know, to the last part of the show. I think it's time we do our predictions then. Oh, we do our predictions for this Dolphins game, okay? I gotta think about it. I gotta think about a proper Josh Allen stat line, okay? And I want you to do the same. And for those of you who are listening and watching the show right here on the Buffalo Rumble vidcast feed, put your predictions in there. Put your predictions in there. Yes, Daniel Nostradamus. I like to call him Negro Domus too. Okay. I'll go with this. I'll say Josh Allen goes 26 of 34, 315 yards, three touchdowns, one on the ground.
Okay.
So he's dealing.
What's the final score?
I think the Bills win 38 to 20.
Okay. I'm going to go... This is a stretch, but I'm gonna go 45-17. And
okay.
And I'm only gonna say that because I just feel like there's a lot of injuries on that Dolphins team. But I think Josh is gonna have two throwing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. 250 yards passing, 18 of 25, and James Cook has about 20 rushes for 100 and
So Bills are going run heavy approach with James Cook. Now we talk, is that James Cook 20 carries rushing carries, or is that 20 touches total?
20 touches and 150 combined yards, or 150 combined yards.
So it's fair to say we can give him 16 carries and about four receptions.
Yeah. So whatever matches that, like, I mean, he could probably have five, six receptions if he gets targeted quite a bit. I think that's when they've been most successful, is when Cooks has been targeted a lot out of the backfield, right? So
yeah, I think there's merit to that, because the Bills have kind of gone away from Cook in the pass game last few games. And I think it's time that they kind of initiate him back and getting him more touches, because you're going to need him going forward big time.
And I expect Diggs to have a solid game as well.
Yeah, man. That's one where you can't keep a great player like that down. Like, he's going to pop. And if he I would much rather happen in the playoffs and he kind of go on a hot streak. But they, you know, I feel like they know what's up. They know what's at stake. I feel like Diggs, and you got to look at, okay, who's going to be shadowing him? Is it you would hope to see that they put Jalen Ramsey on for the Dolphins' sake. But man, if you roll out there with Kader Kohou or Eli Apple, buddy, you're Gabe Davis is going to cook. Gabe Davis will cook.
None of those three are going to be able to guard Diggs. So I don't care who follows. Not even Jalen has gotten cooked by Diggs every time they played. So I don't care who follows him. They're going to need help over the top, and the rest of the field should be open. If they don't help over the top of Diggs, it's really just on Josh to not miss the throws. And we've seen Josh miss a couple of those deep balls to Diggs when Diggs has been open. So, and I think that's probably the root of the frustration is like, you kind of setting Diggs up for these balls, game in and game out, and we're missing it. And that's on Josh. And so if Josh right. does not miss those balls, it could get ugly quick for the Dolphins. It also could be a close late game. That's why there's two different scores in my head. One was like 31-24, 27, and one was 48-17. But I'm going to take the high scoring game because I just think that we dominate the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's time the Bills are going to, man, I just feel really good about this contest. I feel like the Bills are going to come out and they're just going to run roughshod over the Miami Dolphins, dude. I just feel like that's just what's supposed to happen. They're going to come out playoff style and they're going to destroy these guys. That's what's going to happen, man.
I wouldn't argue a Dolphins fan if they said it was going to be close. I fully believe that this, like, I just, for like, Josh loves playing against the Dolphins. It's for the big dog. Josh hasn't had one of them crazy games in a few games.
Right.
It's about time, you know what I mean? And what better time than right now? So I can see Josh turning it up crazy. I can see Joe dialing up some crazy calls and some nice calls. And this game could get out of hand quick if the Dolphins don't put some Band-Aids on them early. And our defense is going to hold tough early, I think. Make them drive the length of the field. If you're going to dink and dunk all the way down, then we got to keep them out of the end zone. Field goal. Like that, that'd be a win in my book.
Yeah, and something to note that when the Bills played the Dolphins week 4, the how they were able to take away Tua's first read and keep him off rhythm was masterful. And I guarantee you, you know, I think this Bills defense is without Milano, obviously, but I feel like the defense is better in the secondary. I think they're going to have a hard time. He's going to have a hard time because they're going to take away that first read, and Tua's going to have to make plays. Like you said, they're going to want him to go down the field with 8-9 play drives. And can he do that consistently without making a mistake? I think, you know, that's the book on Tua. So I feel like the Bills are going to be able to execute that defensive plan and get it done.
And like to hop on top of that, if the Dolphins consistently let us get into dime, your timing is out the window with those because our dime has the ability to take away the early routes and still stay over the top. So then that lets our four pass rushers cook. And that's where I see like the struggle. Like the Dolphins didn't run it well on first down against us last game. And I just don't see them running it well on first down against us again this game. And the one good run that they had that was the majority of their rushing yards was like a 40-yard run. All right, we reset, we go again. And if you're not going to get those 2-3 first down chunk runs, you're not going to get to 3rd and 6 where you could eventually end up throwing over the top, which is what you like, right? Getting to 3rd and 5, we try to take away the sticks. You get that Hail Mary over the top that you like to throw. And I just don't see our defense giving those up, so.
Yeah, and I don't know if Raheem Mostert is going to be playing. We're going to have to kind of monitor and watch the injury report for him. But Devon Achane, he will be suited up. And I think he had 100 yards rushing this past week, but it really didn't matter. And the Dolphins ran the ball pretty well against the Bills in week 4. It just didn't matter. The game was already out of hand.
And the majority of it came on like a chunk play, right?
Chunk play.
It wasn't like a –
And that's the problem with this Dolphins offense. They live and die on chunk plays. And when you take those away, they have a hard time you know, going up the field consistently and putting points on the board. So two offensive linemen are injured for them. I just think that, you know, it's a bad recipe for the Dolphins, even though they're playing at home, which is going to be a Bills home field advantage, if you ask me. I just think the Bills are going to come out victorious in this game. I don't think it's going to be close. And they're going to capture the number two seed. How crazy is that? You know, where we were standing maybe 5-6 weeks ago when the Bills.
You're asking the wrong person.
I mean, for maybe not you because you got the script, but for all of the rest of the Bills Mafia, myself included, you know, you were tied down with the script.
Tied down.
Yeah. Okay.
If we ended up falling, I was falling with that mug.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
But I'm calling. Hey, if there's bets out there for Jordan getting two picks, those are coming this week. So.
So we're going hard on the Jordan with two.
Jordan's
picks.
Getting two and Micah getting one, and they're ending
this
year the same way they started their first year with each getting a pick. That's what I'm calling.
Okay,
right now,
so two for Jordan. One. Why can't Micah get two?
Because there's only three total in the game, and so two for Jordan, one for Micah.
Okay. So we put we betting on that or what? What's going on there?
I mean, I'm saying if there's a parlay out there for two for Jordan, go ahead and put that down.
I'm not looking at DraftKings and see.
Tua's going to try to throw that little post route to Waddle that's picked. He's going to try to throw a late little crossing route to the tight end picked. Those are the two picks that are going to happen.
How's Jordan feeling going into this week, man? What's his mindset?
Jordan is the same. Every week, win or lose, he is all right. Another week, let's go.
He's ready.
He doesn't get up too high, he doesn't get too low. He kind of stays even, which is not like what it used to be. Like he used to dwell on the lows a little bit more. That's just what his personality was. And this year, he's never too high, never too low.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I appreciate it. Well, we're gonna get up out of here, man. It's been real. You know, Bills. Going to Miami. Are you going to the game?
No, I'm watching dogs.
Okay, you're watching dogs. All right. So then why don't you plan on joining me on the postgame show?
I'm done.
Yeah. We'll be doing that. We'll be right here right after the Dolphins game. It'll be late, but we'll definitely be here to pop some champagne, to do whatever to celebrate the Bills getting the number two seed. Absolutely. And you know, let's not even worry about the Miami Dolphins fans on Twitter. Let's just let them cry and talk. We're going to let the Bills show up and just dog walk them boys because that's what we do. But anyway, man, you're listening to the Chop Up here, right here with Sterls and my boy, All Bro Poe. We're going to holler at y'all this weekend. You guys stay safe. Peace and love. Go Bills, baby.
Y'all need it up front. Can't tell me because I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stun. You know that we eatin', it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it up front. Can't tell me, cause I do what I want. Self-made everything, you know we gon' stun. You know that we eatin', it's looking like lunch. So I tell them that I need it.
Everything around my whole team, though. You ain't getting money, you ain't never seen, though. Tell me where the cash at, I'll tell you where the stash at. I've been getting to it so long, been having flashbacks. I double that, triple that, spend it all, make it back. I need